Luke chapter 1. And after church, I want to remind everybody that we still have a few more of these books called This is Christmas for kids that are five and under. If you haven't picked one up for your child, we're giving them to our church families for free, and grandmas and grandpas or aunts and uncles that want to buy them for somebody in your family, they're just $5. It's a hard, every page is very stiff. It's very good for little kids, five and under. And then tomorrow is going to start our 10-day walk to Christmas. It's 10 days till Christmas. Tomorrow, December 16th, will be day one in our devotional booklet, Joy to the World. And so day one starts tomorrow, and there will be a little reading, a scripture, and they're terrific. You'll want to read the introduction, Why Did Jesus Come to Earth? It's got a great introduction. These are free. You can pick those up in the hallway with Terry after church, all right, if you haven't gotten one of these, all right? And we're still waiting on some to come. We had 10-day devotionals for the kiddos, but unfortunately they were being shipped from Europe. So they didn't have in America, and so I was trying to get them here by today, and they didn't make it. So unfortunately we'll have those next week, and you can have them for next Christmas season, but we'll have those available as well. Okay. All right, we are going to look at Luke chapter 1. And before we do, Mary Reet came to me right after Bible fellowship and told me that her brother Ken, is that right, Ken? Ken Belts, B-E-L-T-Z, we all need to pray for him. We'll pray for him in a moment after we read the scriptures. But we need to pray for him. She's got to leave right away today after church to go to Athens to see him because he may not live through the night. And he's in very bad shape. He's 72 years old, so he's not very old at all, but he needs our prayers, and so do Mary and Lewis. So let's be in prayer for the entire family, and especially for Ken. And by the way, there's Madeline down there. Hey, let's give her a big hand for she had the flu. She was out two Sundays, and I asked her if she's all the way 100%, and she said, not quite. But I'm good enough to be here, and so we're so thankful, Madeline, that you are here, and you have a super important part here, and we're just thankful for all these years that you've been faithful to use your gift. So thank you, Madeline. All right, Luke chapter 1, we're going to begin reading at verse 26, and we're going to read through verse 38. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice," or the word there is greetings. Could be used either way. Greetings. Highly favored one, highly honored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her, who was called barren, for with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Let's bow for prayer, everyone. Dear Father in heaven, we want to thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity today to sing your praises as a church family, to glorify your name in this wonderful season of Christmas, Lord. And Lord, our hearts are heavy today for Mary and her entire family, Lord. Her brother, Lord, may be getting ready to go to be with you, Lord. And so we just ask for your intervention, Lord. Lord, because of our prayers, you may see fit to heal him, Lord, in your perfect will. But Lord, if not, we just pray that you will open a door where Mary could get there and the rest of the family to be with him before he goes home to be with you. Lord, comfort them and strengthen them at this time. Give them your grace. Lord, thank you for bringing Madeline back to us and others who weren't feeling well, Lord. We continue to pray for those in our church family, Myra Ramos and others that have the flu, Lord, and it's very difficult. And Lord, you know that I need your help so much as I stand up to preach, Lord, because it's your power and not my words that make an impact, Lord. It's your word, your glory, your spirit. And so, Lord, please be with me as I share your word with your people. And we ask this in your precious name, Lord. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Well, if you go all the way back to July of 2002, late in July of 2002, nine Pennsylvania miners were trapped in the Q Creek mine. They hadn't been heard of for 2 days. 50 million gallons, think of that, 50 million gallons of water flooded the shaft. And a 6-inch pipe was lowered, a 6-inch pipe. They drilled and put an air pipe down into that chamber where they were at. And believe it or not, when that finally broke through the top of the mine, they began to bang on it to let the people up there. They could hear it all the way through the pipe that was bringing air down to those men. They could hear that they were alive. So that was a blessing. So at first, the miners signaled by banging on the pipe, but then it became silent. Now, hope grew as rescuers drilled through the equivalent of 20 stories of granite. Think about that, everybody. You know how hard granite is. Sometimes our counters are made of granite. That's so, so strong. Well, they had to have a diamond-tipped bit that was drilling down, down, down. And I believe it was just big enough. It was like maybe this big, just big enough so they can send down this cage and they could pull those men. The men would get in the cage, and I mean, they were just scrunched coming up through that. You know, maybe it was 2 feet across, okay? And so they were drilling, drilling, drilling. The men are down, I believe, 240 feet underground. It made it 150 feet, and that drill bit disintegrated. Think about that. They're so excited. It's taking a long time for that thing to make it through all that granite. For 18 long hours, drilling stopped while the shattered pieces of the broken bit were retrieved and a new bit was installed. This 18-hour interruption was viewed as a disaster, and what little hope there was to rescue the miners seemed to evaporate. But in the end, listen to this, in the end, it was actually a blessing in disguise. That lack of drilling, that interruption for 18 hours was actually the hand of God. As it turned out, it ended up making the rescue of the miners possible. And this is what the governor of Pennsylvania said. He said this, "What a beautiful ending. We're 9 for 9. We got all of our guys out. As precarious as the circumstances had become at points," sorry about that. There we go. "As precarious as the circumstances had become at points, we fought through it, and we were ultimately successful. It's nothing short of a miracle." Think about that, everybody. Here's a governor going public saying, what you just witnessed was a miracle. Now, the governor went on to tell the media that the time lost in repairing the snap drill bit seemed in retrospect like, quote, he said it seemed like providential intervention. You think? Yeah, definitely. God providentially intervened here. And here's the reason why. Governor Schweiker observed that the 18-hour interruption allowed water to be pumped out to make the ultimate rescue possible. In fact, if the shaft had been penetrated earlier, if that first drill bit kept going and going, this is what would have happened. The drillers would have encountered only water and not miners. Wow. You know, the society that we live in right now, interruptions are generally seen as rude and impolite. You know, sometimes I have that trouble. You know, I'll just be sitting there and somebody will be doing something over here, and I'll kind of butt in. I'm all excited to tell somebody something, and I kind of butt in, and they're kind of like, hey, hold on. Yes? Hello? Is that me? Okay. All right. So anyway, but some of the synonyms, even, you know, like the word interruption, if you look up synonyms on the internet for it, it's like there's synonyms like butting in, cutting in. Let's see, what were some of the other ones? Intruding, interfering. Okay? However, this is not always the case. This is not... is it good? There we go. Okay, it's a little slow today. It's thinking. This isn't always the case. Interruptions are sometimes rude, but sometimes the hand of God comes and he brings an interruption in, okay? Now, the text that we read earlier in Luke chapter 1, of course, about Mary and the angel from God named Gabriel, you know, I would call that, this is what I wrote in my notes, I've called this a divine interruption of epic proportions, okay? A divine interruption of epic proportions. This was an incredible interruption by the hand of God. Now, of course, the story of Mary and the angel coming to her. At one moment, Mary's in her house. She's going about her work, just like she did every day. She's probably, you know, like we said, she's very young. Very young. She's a teenager. Could be anywhere probably between 13 and 16 years old, somewhere in there. But she's undoubtedly, as she's doing her work, she's thinking about her fiancé, Joseph. Now, in the books, they're legally already married. But in those days, they got the legal document first, and then later on, a year later, after he built the house and everything, she's probably thinking about Joseph, and she's happy. Then all of a sudden, she hears, "Greetings! What are you doing in my house?" There's this person standing there. And you know what, everybody? I don't know if they were glowing and had wings. It doesn't have to be that way. They could have just been... You know, do you remember in the Old Testament, I think it was Jesus and two angels, they went to Lot's house. Remember that? Jesus and two angels. And they looked undoubtedly like normal human beings. No doubt about it when you read the text. They didn't have wings. They weren't glowing. So this could have just been all of a sudden. And you could understand why she could get afraid. You know, she's like, hey, there's this person in my house. Now, maybe people came in and out like that back in those days, but I don't know. But nonetheless, she got afraid. And the angel started talking to her. And he gave her a message. Okay? So anyway, Mary is not expecting this at all. Okay? So we'll call that a divine interruption. Okay? So how did she respond to this? How did she respond to this? All right? That's a question that we're going to ask this morning. And we want to think about how in our lives, we want to think about how things out of the blue just all of a sudden happen. Right? We're going through our lives, and then boom. something happens, and it's an interruption. Sometimes at first we don't think it's very good. But here's what I want to talk to you about today. This is the title that I've given to the message today. It's called An Amazing Response to Divine Interruption. An amazing response. This is the way God wants you and I to respond. And we're going to go through these four phases in Mary's interaction with this angel. Okay? Four phases. So let's bow our heads, we'll pray, and then we'll get into the Word of God. Father, we just take a moment here to ask you once again to put your hand on the preaching of your Word and use me, Lord. And God, let it make an impact on the minds and lives of your people today. And we pray it in your precious name, Lord, for your sake. Amen. All right. Back at the time of Adolf Hitler, World War II, there was a man named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a German pastor. He stood up against Hitler. He stood up for the Jews. And in 1945, he was only 39 years old, and Hitler's henchmen came, and they got Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and they martyred him. They killed him for standing up for the Jews. It's a very difficult thing to do, but he took a stand. He wrote these very, very penetrating words, and I'm not putting them on the screen, but I just want you to listen to these words. He said this: "We must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God." Did y'all hear that? "God will be constantly crossing our paths and canceling our plans, sending us people with claims and petitions. It's a strange fact that Christians, and even pastors, frequently consider their work so important and urgent that they will allow nothing to disturb them. They think they're doing God a service in this. But actually, they are despising his desired destination for them." You know, in our text today, it's a very familiar story. And like I said, Mary is a virgin. Mary said, "I don't know a man. I have not been with a man ever." And she's saying, the angel comes and says, "You're going to have a son." How? Let's look at these four phases that Mary goes through in this time she's interacting with this angel. And then we'll get to the amazing response in the end that she has. But we're going to look at different responses that she has. Okay, first of all, I want you to notice Mary's confusion. Okay? Mary's confusion. The angel said to her, "Greetings, highly honored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and pondered what manner of greeting this was. Okay, I want you to notice that word troubled up there. Do you see that? She was troubled. I underline it. She was troubled at his saying. Now, what's interesting, when I said, okay, I'm going to look this word up, I want to see what the Greek word is here. I looked it up. It's a word that means perplexed. Now, by the way, it can mean upset, troubled, or it can mean confused. I'm going with the nuance of confused or perplexed. In fact, the main Greek dictionary puts that as their number one definition, perplexed. And so do two other lexicons. They have confused or perplexed, okay? Because it says here, you have the angel greeting her, and it says she was troubled at his saying. She was perplexed. She pondered what manner. No, she pondered what manner. What kind of a greeting is this? God's favorite. You know, she hadn't heard anything like that in her life. A man shows up, an angel, and says, "You're being highly honored by God, Mary." What do you mean? What? She's confused. Okay? So, Mary didn't feel honored at that moment. And so what we need to do is we're going to draw some lessons out of these situations here. And here's the first lesson this morning. I'm going to give you four lessons right along with the main points. Sometimes what God says to us in his word or what he allows in our lives is initially confusing to us. Okay, do you see that? Sometimes what God says to us in his word, hey, have you ever read the Bible where you read something and you said, I have no idea what that means? We all have. And you know what? That's the way God wants it. That's the way God planned it. Do you think he would write a book to us where everything was like kindergarten or first grade? Now, he has some kindergarten things. It's called the milk of the word. And he also has the meat of the word. You have to chew on it to digest it. You can't just swallow a T-bone down in one bite. Okay, so there's some things you read the Bible and they're exactly easy to understand. But there's other things that you're going to go, man, I don't understand that at all. Why? Because it's just like your mom and dad, they put the good, you know, they put the candy on the top shelf. They put the good stuff up there. You're not supposed to touch that. You've got to climb up there to get to that stuff. And God says, you know what, I want my children to do a little climbing. I want them to do a little searching and seeking of me and praying, okay? All right. William Cowper, the poet, he wrote in one of his most famous poems, the very first line was, God moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. God moves in mysterious ways. He isn't always able to be understood. Lord, why are you allowing this in my life? Okay, we don't always understand. And sometimes not ever in this life. You know, how often have you seen things on TV and you see stories of children or babies or, you know, and they get cancer or something like that? It's just heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. You know what? Even our Lord Jesus told his apostles, you don't understand what I'm saying to you, but you will understand after this. Okay, and believe it or not, in that case, it was right after that, just maybe minutes later. But other times, we could take that and apply that to mean something like, you won't understand this in this lifetime, but you will one day. Okay, so we don't always get it right up front, all right? You know, like, his apostles didn't understand. Peter, the apostle, he was talking about the apostle Paul one time. He said, hey, you know the apostle Paul? I read his writings. I can't understand them. He's sometimes hard to be understood. God had a purpose in that. God had a purpose. All right? Mary, you're going to have a boy. Gabe, I'm not pregnant. And I have never gotten into a situation where I can be pregnant. You know, she didn't understand. So Mary's first, she's confused. But then, I wanted to put this verse just before we go to the next. This is such a great verse. We can pray this, everybody, when we're confused. We can pray what the psalmist told us to pray. Lord, open my eyes and I might see wondrous things from your law. Lord, help me to understand the word. Help me to understand my circumstances, if possible. Sometimes God just wants us to trust him. All right? So we saw Mary's confusion, and then right after her confusion is her panic, her fear. She's afraid. Hey, a lot of times in the Bible where angels showed up or Jesus showed up, the first thing the people do, they're falling on the ground and they're full of fear. This is to be understood. And there's an angel. I'm sorry, it should have. Daniel, what's going on? Do you have, you know anything what's going on back there? Because, what's that? Oh, okay, well here, let me have control of that, Daniel, because it keeps jumping back and forth to who has. We're fighting one another, okay. Mary's panic. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Okay, so Mary has found favor with God. Don't be afraid. Think about it. If she's 13 years old, if she's 14 years old, and a man is suddenly standing, even if it was in the kitchen or in the family room in their house, there's a man standing and says, greetings, Mary! You know what? The angel saw it on her face. There's no doubt. The angel's not God. He can't read minds. All he has to do is look at the girl. She's like, you know. So, He calms her fears, okay? He comforts her. He says, you have found favor with God. God's honoring you, Mary. God's honoring you. That's favor. It's the Greek word where we get the word grace from. All right? Charis, grace. He's gracing you with grace, Mary. All right? And he goes on to say, Mary, she wants to know how. How am I going to have a child? She knows the what. She wants to know the how. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. The angel's giving her... Oh, Daniel, it keeps jumping back. Do you know what's going on by any chance? Okay, yeah, it's really acting weird today. I have a slide and I'm reading it, and it goes back to one before it. Why don't you do this? Why don't you take over and see if it works better for you? Okay? Because see, I punched this slide a long time ago. I'm gonna just back out of this, and I'm just gonna put follow here. Okay? Yeah, I'm gonna just put follow instead of control. Okay, that'll work. Maybe it'll work better with that running it. Okay, so Gabriel's given her a theology of Jesus. Mary, what do you need to know about your son that's going to be born? I'm going to give you a theology. I'm going to give you a belief, system of belief about Jesus. This is what you are to believe. You asked me how, and I'm going to tell you how. You're going to call his name Jesus. He'll be great, called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary, your fear is not necessary, because God is giving you a unique privilege. Mary, you are being given a privilege that no woman in the past and no woman in the future will ever have this privilege. You have no reason to be afraid, because you are going to bear the Messiah. You are going to bear the one who's going to forgive sins. You're going to bear the one who will bring the opportunity for salvation to everyone on earth. He will open that door to everyone. Okay, next slide, please. This brings us to lesson two. When we are afraid of something God says, okay, you're reading your Bible. I'll give you a for instance. Listen, everybody. You're afraid of something God says. Give generously. I can't do that. I only have so much money. Okay? Most Christians react that way. They don't realize when you give from your first fruits of your income, what you have left over, God typically stretches that and makes it go farther. When you give, Jesus said, give, and it'll be given to you. It'll be given to you. And so what I'm saying is, you don't have to fear something as simple as giving. You don't have to fear anything God says to you, because he's in control. But when we're afraid of something God says or something God's doing in our lives, like Mary, we need to hear about the greatness of the God we serve anew and afresh. Next slide, please. This is a great verse. We need to see God like the Bible paints him. Look at this verse. You all know this verse. Don't be afraid. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help. Why can you be generous in your giving? Because he says, I will strengthen you. I'll help you. If you just want the help of a human boss, and you want to hang on to your money, you just want to look to humans, then God allows that. He says, fine, if you don't want my help, no problem. But if you want my help, you trust in me, you'd not be afraid, I'll strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will hold you up with my righteous right hand. I've told you the story a million times. When I was a new Christian, the first year I got saved, I didn't give anything. And then it finally dawned on me, it took a year for God to get through to my thick skull, my hard heart, that, hey, yeah, you, 19-year-old dude, You're supposed to be giving like the rest of these people are giving in here when that plate gets passed. And you know what I told God? I said, God, I'm so sorry for that. I'm going to make up for what I didn't give you from the day I got saved. I'm going to give all of that on top of what I'm... So you know what? I gave more than 10% of my income. I forgot what the percentage was, but I said, God, I'm going to give and give and give until I pay that first year back, and then get this, dummy me. I said, Lord, I'm going to pay back everybody that I've ever ripped off four times as much. And I calculated it all out, and I figured out, hey, before I was saved, I stole $2,000 from different people. Didn't pay them, and all that. So, yeah, give me, who did that? Yeah, it sounded like my grandma. That was very good. My mom and grandma did that to me all the time. That was like a shame, you know, like the drive-by guilting they would put on me, you know. But anyway, grandma would say, yoy, 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 yoy. Yoy, 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 yoy. One time I was driving her down the highway. This is off the subject. And I was like going 85 miles an hour. I said, hey, grandma, do you know how fast I'm going? No, Bobby. 85. Yoy, 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 yoy. She had no earthly idea. I could have been doing 180. She just didn't. Anyway, so going back to that, you know what? Yeah, and you know what? I raised $8,000 in the good old days. Yeah, it's like, who knows how much it would be today. But you know what? Systematically, over time, and then finally, after years of adding and adding, I wrote letters to people. I said, hey, when I was not a believer, I took this from you. My boss, hey, boss, I took this from you. And I'm so sorry. I'm paying you back four times as much. I'm including a little track here so you can know how you can find Jesus like I did. Did you hear about on the news recently? Somebody went into a Walmart and paid $70,000 to Walmart and said, pay all their layaway off. All of them. $70,000. And even the news people were so impressed. On Good Morning America, they said they left a note that says, Jesus paid it all. Yes. You did that? Oh, my goodness. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, okay. You just lost your reward? Okay, no. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They had a small company, and it ended up, they got a Christmas bonus. Every employee got $50,000. Now, that's what, you know, I would say, here's my retirement. I'm turning in my retirement slip. But anyway, okay. All right, so we don't have to fear, all right? And like I said, I'm just using that as an example that you can trust God. I was only 19, and I didn't know God very well, but I said, you know, I'm going to do this, Lord. By the way, you don't have to pay people back like that you've stolen from them. God doesn't say in the Bible, unless you pay all those people back you stole from before you were saved, I'm not going to bless you. He doesn't say that. I just did it. You know, Zacchaeus did it, and I said, well, if it's good enough for Zacchaeus, I can do it too. But Jesus didn't command Zacchaeus to do it. Zacchaeus just said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Okay, so now that's Mary's panic, okay? At this point, maybe you think that the angel's not got everything cleared up, that Mary is ready to go forward with God's plans for her life. But if you think that, you would be wrong, because Mary still has a question in her mind, and it's in verse 34. Look at verse 34 here. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? Okay? She's got a question, and this is the next phase. Mary's confusion, Mary's panic, and the next phase is Mary's curiosity. She's not asking a what question. She understands the what. She wants to know the how. She got the what. The what is, you're going to have a baby. Her question to God is, how? This is different from Zacharias last week. Zacharias didn't ask in belief, all right? And so, Daniel, go ahead and put that up there, that next slide. Okay, questioning God in disbelief like Zacharias did is bad. Questioning God out of curiosity like Mary did is good. Last week, God told Zacharias, old Zacharias, hey, Zacharias, you know, I know you're 80 years old, but guess what? You and your wife are going to have a boy. His response was, oh, how is that going to happen, Lord? He didn't say that. He said, show me a sign. He was doubting. He was not believing what God said. And so the angel said, Zacharias, guess what? You get to not be able to talk for the next 9 months. Some people think they took away his hearing too, because they were motioning to him. Like he couldn't hear them. There's that part they say they motioned to him. Why would they have to motion to him if they could hear? If he could hear what they say that he got lost both his ability to talk and to hear. He was a deaf mute. Wow. Okay? So questioning Mary, or questioning God out of curiosity like Mary did, is good. Now sometimes, everybody, God may not see fit to give you the how answer. You may say, God, how is this going to happen? Lord, you want me to be generous. How am I going to do that when I am not making enough money right now to make ends meet? Okay, that's a legitimate question. Now, he may not give you the answer. You may just have to stand back and say, Lord, I trust you, and I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to start with a little bit, and as time goes on, I'm going to give more and more, and I'm going to do more. All right? Okay, so you get the idea there. So that's just one area of the Christian life. Okay. Next scripture here. Go ahead, Daniel, that next slide. The angel tells Mary how it's going to happen. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the highest, that's God the Father, the power of God will overshadow you. You know, if you want to think of it this way, think of you're out in the bright sunlight and a giant person comes behind you and their shadow overwhelms you. Suddenly you're standing in the shade. You know, you could feel that happen to you in Texas if you're just standing out in the middle of the road in the summer and somebody comes up and they're shading you because they're so big. Man, you don't even have to turn around. You're like, oh, that feels good. Because the shade, just the shade from the sun. Okay, and Gabriel's telling Mary, God is going to overshadow you. His shadow, his power. So this is supernatural power, everybody. There's no material interaction between God and Mary, obviously. It's supernatural. The power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And God's miracle in Mary would be the fulfillment of the messianic prophecy here in Isaiah 7:14. This prophecy was being fulfilled here. Look at this scripture. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. That is God with us. His name will be called God with us. Listen, everybody. You see this? This was predicted 700 years before Jesus was born, that he would be virgin born. That's amazing. That's amazing. All right? All right, let's wrap it up here. That's number three. So where have we gone from? We've gone from Mary's confusion right at the beginning. And right after that, her panic, her being so afraid. And now she gets curious. How is this going to happen? Verse 36, next slide, Gabriel also says this to Mary. Indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. He wants to add some more info here. She needs this info. She needs this. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be... Oh! You remember Edith Bunker on All in the Family? Oh! Remember that? She'd hear something and she didn't get it. And right in the middle of the oh, she gets it. She's like, Oh! Well, Mary gets it. She gets it. She gets the how. Here's how. I've got an aunt that's very old. She's already been pregnant 6 months. If God can do that with her, what could he do? He did the impossible for her. He could do the impossible for me. I'm young, and I haven't known a man. And With God, nothing will be impossible. Did you hear that, everybody? Man, you could take that to the bank. With God, nothing will be impossible. Let me ask you this. What do you need in your spiritual life, in your financial life, in your relational life? You name it. Your marriage, your work, you name it. Your finances. What do you need that to you looks impossible? What do you need? Okay? With God, nothing will be impossible. Do you need a relationship healed? With God, nothing will be impossible. Do you need more income? Do you need a better job? With God, nothing. Hey, listen, if God wants you to have that, He can bring it to pass. Okay? In His timing. Okay? We can't tempt God and say, God, I want it now. You're not Veruca Salt. Okay? And Willy Wonka. I want it now! No, you're not Veruca Salt. Don't forget, she went down where the bad eggs go. Okay? She went down the chute. You remember that? I love Willy Wonka. She was a bad one. She was a bad egg or something like that. Okay. I love what Peter Larson's quote here. I want to put it up on the screen. Peter Larson's quote. I love this. This is so good. Despite our efforts to keep him out, God intrudes. Hey, anybody want to raise their hand that God's intruded in your life sometimes when we weren't really asking for it and you didn't really want it? Yeah, everybody's hand goes up. Okay, despite our efforts to keep him out, God intrudes. The life of Jesus is bracketed by two impossibilities. He's the God of the impossible. A virgin's womb and an empty tomb. That almost even rhymes. Jesus entered our world through a door marked, no entrance. And he left through a door marked, no exit. The virgin's womb and the gravestone that sealed the tomb. He defied both of them because he's God. With God, nothing will be impossible. All right? So far, we've seen Mary's confusion. We've seen her fear. We've seen her panic. We've seen her curiosity. Then Mary says, and this is the climax here in verse 38. Mary says, behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. We can call this, everybody, Mary's obedience. Mary's obedience. She said, Lord, I'm your slave. Whatever you want me to do. You want me to do this, Lord? I'm here to do it. So she went from confusion to panic to curiosity to obedience. Okay? And this leads us to our final lesson. Regardless of our initial confusion and fears, the only correct response to God's word is heartfelt obedience and submission. Okay? Mary sees herself as God's servant. She sees herself as God's servant. What's important to her is not getting her own way. Okay? Daniel, do we have one for that? Do we have a slide for that next one? Yeah. What is important to her is not getting her own way, but doing her God's will. Not her own way, but doing her God's own will. She wants to do what he wants. She doesn't say, Lord, I can't do it. If Joseph finds out about this, that I'm pregnant, I'm toast. Joseph thinks I'm holy. He thinks I'm pure. This is going to mess everybody in the city. I live in a small city. Lord, they're all going to call me an immoral person. They're going to call me a prostitute. It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad, Lord. He just said, oh, okay, Lord, you're my God. You sent this angel God. And if this is what you're asking me to do, Lord, you're going to have to work everything out. Wow, what faith, what obedience to God. One story and we'll pray. Bill White is a man who pastors in Paramount, California. All right? Craig has been an alcoholic. He's telling the story of this man named Craig. Craig had been an alcoholic for more than a dozen years. He lost everything he had, his wife, his son, due to selfishness and addiction. Things began to change, though, in his life after he became a believer, after he got saved. Guess what? Things began to change. But from time to time, he still fell into his old habits. Okay? So he began to grow. He began to grow as a Christian. And then, boom, the bottom dropped out, and he went and got drunk again. And he would get sober, and he'd say, oh, I'm not going to do that anymore, Lord. And then, boom, he does it again. So time to time. Well, finally, he got desperate. He lost his job, his good-paying job, and now he's in a grocery store, and he's clerking. The grocery store's well-stocked with all kinds of alcohol. And so finally he says, okay, that's it. I'm quitting my job at the store. I don't know what I'm going to do for income, but I can't be there anymore around all that alcohol, because when I get down, I immediately just start going back to the bottle. He cries out to God. He has an interview with a sheet metal company that's right by his church where he's been going. Sheet metal. He had an interview. He falls on his face, and this is what he says. He says, God, if you give me this job, I'll give you my entire first paycheck. He's desperate. Lord, give me the job. I'll give you the whole first paycheck. And guess what? He gets the job. And you know what he does? He's got bills because he lost his last job, and the bills were stacking up to the ceiling. But you know what he says? I made God a promise. I made God a promise. And he endorsed that check. And since he lived close to the sheet metal factory and he lived close to the church, he signed that check during the week. He didn't even wait for Sunday. He signed his name, paid to the order of Ridge Point Fellowship. I don't know what the church's name was. And he walks over to the church and he gives it to the secretary and he says, here, put this in the church offering, my whole income, my whole paycheck. That was the moment, Craig says, that changed his life. Because now he understood what it meant to trust God. Now he understood what it meant to trust God. As of today, Craig has been sober, and this is the pastor talking. As of today, Craig has been sober for 25 years. But not only that, he's the manager at the sheet metal company. He's the manager. Not only that, he serves as an elder at his local church. Wow. Wow, what God can do. 25 years later, he's running the show, basically, at the sheet metal company, and he is an elder at the church. God's taken him from the guttermost to the uttermost. All right? And I can relate to that. Takes us out of the gutter, stands us up, says, take off those grave clothes. Remember when Lazarus was risen from the dead? He came out of the tomb, but what did he have on? All the cloths, right? Take those off of him. He's alive. He's alive. And you know what, you guys? You and I are alive. We're in Christ. And we shouldn't be walking around with the old grave clothes on from our past life. You're a new creature in Christ. And we should be living like that. You know what? Craig finally got tired in the story and said, you know what? Lord, take these grave clothes off of me and let me glorify you. Let me honor you. All right? So what do we do? What do we take home from this, everybody? What do we take home? Well, what we take home is this. We take home, we obviously take home the four lessons. Okay? But if you were to boil it all down, you want to boil it down to God will interrupt your lives. Sometime in the future, there will be an interruption. You weren't expecting it. But guess what? With God, nothing's impossible. Don't freak out. Don't panic. Don't become afraid. But get curious. Say, Lord, how do I get through all this? I know your word says for me to trust you. Is there anything else I need to do? Lord, open my eyes. Let me get some counsel, Lord. Whatever you need to do, everybody. But number one, Isaiah 41, put your trust in God. Fear not, I'm with you. Don't be afraid, I'm your God. I'll strengthen you. I will uphold you with my mighty right hand. Don't worry. Don't worry. Trust God. Go forward. Mary trusted God. She went to see Elizabeth. They had a wonderful time. I love the story where they see each other. and the babies recognize supernaturally Jesus and John the Baptist, and the babies start moving around. They're so excited. When Elizabeth heard Mary's voice, John the Baptist started moving around because the Messiah was in the house. I love that. But you know what? We should be a Mary. We should take from the Christmas story, we should be a Mary and say, Lord, I'm your slave. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Okay? Let's bow our heads for prayer. I want you to take a moment and think for just a second. Let's, you know, we talk about during Christmas, silent night, holy night. Let's take a moment and think, everybody. Let's get silent before God and think. What do you need? Something that's maybe in your mind is an impossibility. What do you need? What can God do for you? Think about it. What do you need God to do? Just talk to him right now. Just say, Lord, I really need this, Lord. Put it in his hands. Trust him. And he can do great and mighty things. You know, maybe some of you are here today and you're not sure that you're even God's child. You're not even sure that you have the right to talk to him. See me after church. I can show you how you could be 100% sure that your sins are forgiven and that you'll be with God forever and ever. Those of you that are saved, maybe you need some encouragement and some counsel or whatever. I'm here, the elders are here, other blessed people in our church are here that they can encourage your heart and help you. Father, I pray that you'll help us to be like Mary, Lord, and have an amazing response to divine interruptions, a response of faith, a response of joy, and a response of obedience, Lord. Help us, Father. Bless us this week, Lord. Use us. Open doors for us to share the good news with other people, Lord. And Lord, help us to be overcomers. And we pray this in your precious name and for your sake, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right. Hey, don't forget to pray for Mary.